You know a lot about golf.
Well, we're waiting.
It is time for us, those weekend golf guys. I'm John Ashton. He is Jeff Smith, Golf Magazine Top 100 teacher, hanging out at the golf cave, Timbergate Golf Course, Edinburgh, Indiana. Been a long summer, man, but it's winding down.
It is. You know what? It's officially fall. The rain feels colder. That's what I'm finding out right now. Right?
Duh.
Used to get out in the summertime, you're sweating your face off, you know, your lips are boiling, and all of a sudden the rain comes and you stand there and it goes, ah. And it helped.
Yeah.
In the last couple of weeks, I've been standing outside getting rained on going, where's my coat?
That's right.
Give
bundle
my
up.
Hat, give my coat. It's a little chilly now.
Two golf courses in the area here, both of whom are owned by the city in which they're built. And one has done it right and one has not done it right, I think. Both of them overseeded in the past 2 weeks. Aerated the fairways and just overseeded, getting ready for, you know, the winter to come in. And then so next year the grass will grow in fuller and greener, quicker, yeah. All that. One of the courses shut down for 2 weeks. Just said, no, we're seeding. We don't want anybody out here. We don't want anybody messing up the fairways. We don't want any divots. We don't want any of the seed gone. It's closed. Don't step on it. Don't walk on it. Stay home. And the other one simply posted a sign that said, no carts in the fairway, which was a pain in the butt because just something mentally about that. Every time you get the cart path on the right, you know your shot's going to the left.
You know? You are saying that you don't want to exercise even just by strolling from the cart with a club in your hand, because we know you're not taking two or three because you've already pre-decided the club that is necessary for the shot to succeed.
Yeah.
All the way over on the cart path.
Yeah.
I know. So you don't even want that exercise carrying more than one club, and you don't want the exercise of strolling to the other side, huh?
Yeah.
Is that it? Is that the deal?
If I wanted to exercise, I wouldn't play golf. I was just pointing out.
Fair enough.
That one course, one city, bit the bullet, took the hit, and said, no, let's do it right. And the other one said, we're going to overseed, but, you know, we'll just.
We like money, so.
Yeah, we'll do it the other way. I just wanted to say a shout out to the guys who did it right. Thank you very much. And I hope you open up again soon because you're just a mile away from my house and I play there a lot. We've got a lot more to talk about. We're going to talk about weight of clubs. We're going to talk about spin, how to get it, how to use it, when to need it, et cetera, et cetera. All when we come right back. Hang out. We are those weekend golf guys. Is there anything better than sweating out a win in the fourth quarter and coming away with cash in your pocket? Well, at MyBookie, there is. Make your first deposit and receive double your money before ever placing a bet with MyBookie. That's a dollar-for-dollar match on whatever you throw down, up to $1,000. And you can use that extra scratch to get in on all the biggest games of the week, including tonight's matchup between the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, with two of the most explosive offenses in the NFL going toe-to-toe, you know the over is going to be a great bet. And as if you needed another reason to head to MyBookie.ag to celebrate the start of the MLB playoffs, MyBookie is hosting a $20,000 blackjack tournament that is absolutely free to enter. Winning season is here, so get in the game and get to MyBookie.ag now. That's MyBookie.ag, not .com, not .net. Use the promo code GOLFGUYS to get your double deposit bonus. That's promo code GOLFGUYS with no spaces, and you can double your funds to double your winning. Bet anything, anytime. Time anywhere with my bookie. And we promised we'd be back, and voila, here we are. Those weekend golf guys. John Ashton here, Jeff Smith, Golf Cave, Timbergate, Edinburgh, Indiana. Yeah. I have a question. Is it possible that having different clubs from different manufacturers, or even from the same manufacturer, but with different specifications, specific specification being weight? Can that mess you up?
Sure it can. Let's give an example. You've got, say, steel-shafted irons and a graphite-shafted hybrid and 3-wood and 5-wood and driver.
Mm-hmm.
And then for some odd reason, you decided to get a graphite-shafted wedge. So ask yourself a question. If you're swinging something and you get used to swinging your irons, let's say.
Right.
And then you pick up that graphite-shafted hybrid or the graphite shafted wedge, and they're lighter.
Yep.
The balance of those clubs is not the same, is it?
Nope.
So do you think that you would be able to wield the club at the ball in the same kind of way, at the same kind of timing?
I hope not. That's why I ask, because I need an excuse.
I wondered where that question was really coming from.
Here's what I
did. Let's build this into the reason that you want, as a building, a reason to go, oh, this is one more thing that gives me an excuse. And we give it the reason of, hey, why don't you get your stuff together instead of this hodgepodge of things that you're doing?
The only question I ask is,
are you suggesting that at some point, let's say do a knee job on one of your irons and then you replaced it with another iron of said number, but the wrong shaft, it didn't match up. Is that why we're doing this?
It was nothing that violent. You know, I've been searching low these many years for a gap wedge.
Yes.
Because I have nothing for the 100 to 105 yard shot. My lob wedge goes 65, my sand wedge goes 85, and my pitching wedge goes 115. In between 85 and 115, I was sunk. I had a gap. Now, hence the title gap wedge.
What point did you stop chipping it up to the next distance so you could have a club? If you're at that one club where you've got a gap and you know you don't have a club for that, you just chipped it forward for a little while and then you say, oh, I got a club for this. I'll take a full swing now.
It was in that stupid quest to cut shots from my score that caused me to stop doing that. So first thing I did is I went to one of those companies that advertises how great their clubs are, but you can only buy them online. And
do they have an advertisement? Is it something along the lines of it's the same golf course out west where they have
the
magic wedges?
This wasn't magic anything. This was just, hey, this is a damn good club, but we sell them cheaply because we don't have to pay for shipping and all that kind of stuff to salespeople to put them in green grass stores. We sell directly to the consumer online. I'll tell them it was Bomb Tech. Okay. Uh-huh. You've seen those guys out of Vermont, right?
I have.
Their clubs are pretty good. And then their wedges looked nice and they had a great deal on a set. 52, 56, 60 degree cost less than $100. Buy it. I did. They were steel shafted. It was the only choice I had. I couldn't swing them with any kind of success because they were just so much heavier than my regular irons, which are graphite shafted. Right. So I took those shafts out. I took those wedges out of the bag. I put the original lob wedge and sand wedge from my ping set back in and then ordered a gap wedge, 52 degree gap wedge from Ben Hogan. Again, selling only online. Okay. They get very involved. I probably should have called you first. They get very involved when they ask you to set up your clubs online. They ask you what kind of a grind you want, what kind of a shaft you want, and all this kind of stuff. I picked graphite thinking that was all I needed to do. The other choices confused me, so I just blew past them and said, okay, close your eyes, pick this one. It came the other day. It's a beautiful club. Substantially heavier, even with the graphite shaft, than my other wedges. And I find myself pulling it to the left all the time. It just does not, I can't swing it the same way.
So there's a couple things, right? It's possible that that wedge is a little bit more upright than it needs to be for you.
Okay.
That's a possibility, right? So when wedges are too far upright, the face angle is left for right-handed golfers.
Okay.
Because what will happen, right, you could sole the club flat on the ground and then the handle would be high.
Right.
And then the face would be pointed straight at it, right?
Yeah.
But when you lower the handle to fit your hands, the toe goes up in the air. And when you have a wedge that the toe goes up in the air, the face angle is actually facing left.
Okay. You're right. That makes sense. Yeah.
I try to make sense.
Yeah.
You know. Because I know that, you know, I'm talking to.
To me. Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
Did you notice, I wonder if you actually did notice this, when you started to talk about the weight and if weight made a difference in how you swing, right?
Mm-hmm.
that we didn't get into the weeds about girth or, you know, pop open the belt or anything. We didn't talk about any of those things, right? We went straight to club weight.
Yes. Not get the thin crust pizza and any of that stuff.
Didn't say any of those things, right? Not a Jenny Craig comment anywhere in the picture.
I appreciate that, man. You're losing, you're losing your touch.
So as we're talking about weight, you should watch this thing, right? That you're gonna watch the weight, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you're gonna do.
Well, I'm weight watching.
So let's think about weight in terms of the club head. Where is it? What, you know, there's this thing that we talk about, we call swing weight.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like the balance point of the club and what it feels like in your hand when you heft and pick it up. So let's say that you've got an uber light shaft.
Right.
And you pick it up and it's got the same, you know, a head weight that's out there, and you'll feel it all the way out at the end because the shaft is so light. The balance point of that shaft is shoved all the way toward the head, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So you feel all that, and that will have a heavier swing weight than, say, a shaft that has a heavyweight shaft with the same weight of head than a lightweight shaft. So if I put a really uber lightweight shaft in this head, I feel all the weight in the club toward the head. And that swing's wildly different than if I put a heavyweight shaft in there, the weight all distributed through from my hands all the way down, and the head swings differently, and it's effectively got a lighter swing weight, even though it's a heavier overall club.
Have we just once again pointed out two discrepancies? One being that one needs to really become familiar with the clubs in one's bag before one can play well. And the other being that when you get serious about the game, you really should be serious about your equipment and get fitted.
Yeah, we really have. Because when you talk about things like that, and I talk about things like that, the questions abound, right?
Yeah.
Well, what should I be? What should I do? How should I go about this? Truth is that if you get club fit properly, somebody knows what the heck they're doing, especially with wedges. Well, I shouldn't say especially, but we're talking about wedges, so I just mentioned it that way.
Okay.
But could you imagine, like you just mentioned, you bought three wedges and you found them to be too heavy to swing well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not saying anything about your strength or lack thereof. It's a matter of what you get used to.
Yeah, it's the comfort level.
And what
level
you can heft and what you can swing as you have developed a certain feel in your hands and your arms and your body to deliver a club down to a ball very well. And you've done it with graphite shafted wide body clubs so that you can thump the ground very beautifully with those wide body clubs. And you could do a beautiful thing, and you have built your move around a lot of that.
Right.
And then you put something heavier weight in your hands, and now all of a sudden it threw off the timing and the tempo and the feel of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay.
That's a big deal. So get fit, folks. So, John, next time you see that ad for $59.95.99, you probably want to resist that, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. And go get fitted or get fat, whatever the past tense is. Speaking.
I think fat is also a present.
Already got it? Fat. You got that right. Oh, man. Speaking, though, of wedges, another very, very important aspect of the wedge game is spin. And we're going to delve into that, how to get it, when to get it, what to do with it when we come right back. We are those Weekend Golf Guys. You know, I started using Liquid IV to hydrate myself this summer when it was real hot here in Kentucky area. It was terrible. Sweating, you get dehydrated quickly. One stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water, and you hydrate much quicker and much better than just drinking the 16 ounces of water. And it tastes great. They've got all kinds of fruit flavors, but packed with vitamins. There's more vitamin C than an orange and as much potassium as a banana and less sugar than an apple. Can you believe that? And if you've spent too much time at the 19th hole, it's a great hangover cure. because it's getting cooler, it's going to be less noticeable when you become dehydrated. So why don't you just make it a habit? One stick of liquid IV and 16 ounces of water, maybe before your round, during your round, right after your round, whatever. Grab your favorite liquid IV flavor nationwide at Walmart. Or if you want a discount, you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code GOLFGUYS at checkout. 25% off anything you order when you get better hydration today using promo code GOLFGUYS at liquidiv.com.
Guys, do you wish there was a holistic solution that promoted both healthier hair and whole body wellness without drugs and prescriptions? Now there is. Nutrafol. Nutrafol is clinically shown to improve hair growth, thickness, and visible scalp coverage while also supporting sex drive, better sleep, and less stress. Nutrafol is recommended by more than 1,500 top doctors. And why not? In a clinical study, men showed progressive improvement in hair growth and thickness after as little as just 3 months. You too can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com and entering the promo code GOLFGUYS to save $15 off your first month subscription. That's the best offer anywhere, and it's only available to U.S. customers for a limited time. Plus, there's free shipping on every order. Get $15 off at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, and use the promo code GOLFGUYS.
And we are here, those weekend golf guys, John Ashton in the studio, Jeff Smith at the Golf Cave, Timbergate Golf Course in Edinburgh, Indiana, and of course, one of Golf Magazine's top 100 teachers, so where better to go to ask questions about spin? I have seen guys, I have played with guys. I played with an older gentleman. He was almost 80 years old. He could never reach a green. He was always short of the green in two shots or in, you know, in regulation, whatever the regulation was. Yet with his wedges, he could put the ball within 2 feet every single time. And the balls flew nice. They had maybe a low trajectory when they needed one or a high trajectory when they needed one. But the operative consideration was each time they hit and they checked up and they stopped.
Magic.
How do you do that? He was not forthcoming with the technique at all.
Don't watch me.
That's right.
Turn around.
He was
I'm
like,
hit this shot. Turn around. Don't watch it.
He was like, oh, you can't do this? You want to play for money?
So. Yeah. So let's talk about that, right? How does that happen?
That's what I just friction. Asked you, man.
Friction.
Okay, friction. All right.
That's what creates spin. So, John, take your hand and wipe it across your forehead. Go on. Right?
Uh-huh.
Friction. Right? So did your skin on your forehead move a little bit when your hand wiped across it?
It did.
Yeah. What do you think's happening to the cover of a golf ball when the club head wipes across it like that?
It's moving.
It's spinning.
It's
right?
spinning.
That's what creates it, right?
Right.
So when people realize what this is, there's a club face angle at the time it hits the ball of whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But the spin is created between the difference in that angle and the direction that it's moving. So let's say, John, that you're presenting – let's talk about this like it's your 56-degree sand wedge, okay?
Okay.
And let's say that you deliver to the ball 56 degrees and it's coming in exactly horizontal to the ground.
Okay.
So let's say it's 0 degrees down angle, mm-hmm. right? So it's moving into the ball with 56 degrees of up and 0 degrees traveling down. It's just moving sideways across it, right?
Okay.
There's a difference there of 56 degrees, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Between the
– So that has a certain amount of friction, right? There's a difference between
yeah.
that. You can picture that. All right. So now try to imagine you're moving the club at, say, 5 degrees downward – and you deliver 56 degrees. So now there's a difference between those two things of 5 more degrees. That
okay.
makes sense?
Yeah. The downward angle of the club itself, 5 degrees.
Right.
Coming down the
and
swing.
And so the downward movement of the club is
right.
56 degrees in the air, but now it's moving downward 5 degrees.
Gotcha.
So now that 56 degree angle is imparting more spin on the golf ball because it effectively had a more difference between those two things. The club that's moving down 5 degrees and still presenting 56 degrees
mm-hmm.
grabs the ball and effectively spins it more.
Okay.
Than the angle of 56 degrees moving at 0 degrees across it, right?
Right.
So that's how spin is created.
So then spin would be created by the steepness of the angle of the swing.
Versus the loft given.
Of the club.
Let's say that we have the same 5 degree down angle, but we turn the club face down 5 degrees. So we're only delivering 51 degrees of loft moving 5 degrees down. We don't have any more spin than we did if we were delivering 56 degrees at 0 degrees.
Okay.
So it's the difference between the two
gotcha.
That we're talking about. Just like when we were talking about the slice, you have the difference in where the face angle is pointed, i.e. sideways, versus the way that it's moving, right?
Right.
So if it's not pointing in the direction that it's moving – and there's a difference between the two, we get friction on the ball, so we get spin.
Right.
But most of the time we talk about spin, we're not talking about it in terms of the backspin, unless we're talking about a short shot, in this case a wedge shot where it's zipping around and stopping and all those things. We're usually talking about it in terms of slices and hooks.
Mm-hmm.
But spin is spin. The ball's just rotating about an axis, right?
Right.
So it's like a beach ball, right? So, John, you're bouncing a beach ball around. You know, you've seen it bounce around the crowds, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they at football stadiums and whatnot, and they got a beach ball bounce around, and somebody hits it, and they see the thing, and the colors just spin, spin, spin.
Right.
Well, it's because they swiped down to hit the ball and hit someone at the bottom of the ball and swiped on it with their hand, and then the ball just rotated off of that. And so you look at that, and you're like, oh, I understand how things spin.
Mm-hmm.
Now the question is, okay, how do we translate that into, I got a wedge in my hand, and I want to stop my ball.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. And that translation is not as easy as one might think it should be.
Right. So let's find out a couple things first. In the practice swing of the shot you're trying to play, let's go find out if you do a little up and down move with the club, a pick it up and throw it down, kind of a steep angle of attack kind of a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do that without sticking it in the ground? So the ball's got to be a little bit more forward to do that.
But,
because you still want to thump the club on the bottom of the ground, use the sole plate to thump the ground, but you still want to come in at a steep angle. So here we are. I want to deliver that 5 degrees or so down angle, but I still want my 56 degrees up in the face, and I want my club to land right at the bottom of the golf ball so I can hit it clean. So I'm going to use the bottom of the club, and I'm going to thump it on the ground with an up-to-down motion of the swing, and I'm going to find out where that is. Chances are very good that'll be left of center, forward of center. That'll okay. be very good.
In your stance, you mean?
Right?
The ball should be a little bit
in
forward
the stance, right.
of center. Okay.
Right. So if you did that and you went up to down with that 56-degree club
uh-huh.
and you caught it cleanly because you thumped the spot right at the bottom of the ball,
mm-hmm.
the ball jumps up into the air off the club face because I delivered 56 degrees and all that mass of the club is down below the ball and it pops it up in the air. But boy, do I have a ton of spin because I had a lot of friction. Because I didn't have any grass between the club face to reduce that friction. And I had a difference between the 56 degrees of angle and how much it was moving downward into it. So I created some spin. And then I had a clean club face and some scraped out grooves, right? So I didn't have right. a bunch of dirt in there. John, let me mention the fact that it's cleaning your grooves helps a lot.
It's that groove thing.
I know. You're looking at me like, oh, he's telling me I got to clean my clubs again.
Supposed to clean those things, man.
Think about that. You know those awesome wedges that everybody gets new wedges and they just spin them off the planet. They're like, my God, I wish I had this all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe not. Because sometimes you spin them too much friction.
There's one thing that you say that makes perfect sense and it's common sense, but then so few golfers actually think about it. But watching where the club strikes the ground in the practice swing and using that to determine where you should put your ball is like genius. <You
know? laughs> Why, thank you. Thank you very much. I'll take that compliment. Yeah. For the most common sense thing ever, hey, where's my club landing? That'd be a good spot to put the bottom of this golf ball, wouldn't it?
It would almost be, you know, almost be perfect.
would seem like that would be very helpful.
Yeah.
Just from a common sense perspective, I want to strike the back of the golf ball just prior to the ground. So if I put the bottom of the ball right where the club first touched the ground, I would actually strike the back of the golf ball first.
So
have to run into that spot before it got to the ground.
So a lot of people who want to put spin on their ball and they do it by putting the ball further back in their stance are doing it backwards.
Well, what happens then is then the club's de-lofting, right? Because they push it down,
right,
and they come in with that steep angle, but then they de-loft it.
Yeah.
And so they don't have as much differential between the angle it's moving down and the face angle itself. They may have taken away some of the differential.
Right.
They may have taken their 56 and turned it into a 48, but only delivered it on a 5-degree down angle. Next thing you know, they don't have nearly as much spin, and the ball's going to project forward and jump on them, and they're going, well, I couldn't get that thing to check.
Yeah.
I thought just by de-lofting it, that meant everything. Wait a minute.
That's antithetical. Yeah.
Yeah. We got a problem.
Man.
I just go with that whole physics thing. It seems to work all the time.
Well, you know, so few golfers actually do well in physics. You know, nobody told me I was going to – when I was sitting in physics class in high school thinking to myself, I'm never going to use this crap. Someone should have said, golf. You know?
I wish they would have.
Yeah. It's like when I was sitting in geometry class. I said, I'll never use this. And they go, you will if you play pool. And I go, okay, well, that ends that. I'll never play pool. So I hate geometry. But, I mean, it makes so much sense. Is you hit the ball with the club, you know, natural loft. What you've got, you don't de-loft it or try to push it. So many of us also try to push it up. You know, we want to get it higher, so we try to lift it up, and we wind up, like, twisting our upper body to the point where we – top the ball, and it just, we watch it scoot across the green, and we have the same shot from the other side, only this time it's from the rough. and don't get spin from the rough.
When I watch them do that,
uh-huh.
You know what I say?
What?
You want to play for money?
You're that guy. Yes, indeed.
I'll bet you $100 that you can't pull this off.
And you'd probably be right. So just to recap.
The first thing I would do is I would hit a really high lofted shot.
Uh-huh.
Because then they try to do that lift move even more. Because yeah. They think that really works. And I would have a really nice dinner on them.
Yes, you would. Have you ever seen him make a bet and then call his wife going, honey, it's not pizza tonight. All right.
We're having burgers.
So, ooh, big time. So the spin is imparted basically by just paying it again, paying attention. Pay attention to where the club head hits the ground. Put the ball there and come in at a bit of an angle. And there you go. Come in more steeply with your shot. If you think this stuff helps, hang out because we've got some more great information coming up next. We are those Weekend Golf Guys. You know, I started using Liquid IV to hydrate myself this summer when it was real hot here in Kentucky area. It was terrible. Sweating, you get dehydrated quickly. One stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water, and you hydrate much quicker and much better than just drinking the 16 ounces of water. And it tastes great. They've got all kinds of fruit flavors, but packed with vitamins. There's more vitamin C than an orange and as much potassium as a banana and less sugar than an apple. Can you believe that? And if you've spent too much time at the 19th hole, it's a great hangover cure. Because it's getting cooler, it's going to be less noticeable when you become dehydrated. So why don't you just make it a habit? One stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water, maybe before your round, during your round, right after your round, whatever. Grab your favorite Liquid IV flavor nationwide at Walmart. Or if you want a discount, you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code GOLFGUYS at checkout. 25% off anything you order when you get better hydration today using promo code GOLFGUYS at liquidiv.com.
If you're like me, you've been hearing a lot about burials and cremation lately. It's kind of a sad thought, but thousands of these poor souls have to be stored in these big refrigerator trucks, waiting sometimes weeks before they can be put to rest. And then the average funeral cost is over $10,000. I don't have that kind of money just lying around, do you? Everyone has the right to die with dignity, and an affordable burial policy can be had for as little as a dollar a day. Call Final Expense Network for a free quote. They shop for affordable rates from brand name companies, folks you've heard of. One call and you get coverage to finish well. You can even name your church as a beneficiary. Come on, you have loved ones. Don't leave them at the last hour of their need. Call now, 800-589-0470. That's the Final Expense Network at 800-589-0470. Finish well. Make a quick call to 800-589-0470. 800-589-0470.
Yeah, it is us. I'm back again, those weekend golf guys. I'm John Ashton. He is Jeff Smith at Timbergate Golf Course in Edinburgh, Indiana. He's in the golf cave. I'm in the studio. He's been telling me how to put spin on the ball.
Yeah.
You made a meaningful statement when you said, as long as there's nothing between the club head and the ball, you can do that. So coming out of the rough, is it impossible to put spin or is it just a different technique?
Well, it's not impossible, but try to imagine something wet, soft, and gooey in between the face of your club and the golf ball. Try to imagine that.
Yeah.
So that's not friction. That's just something in between there. It's like a wet sponge.
Right.
So there's no friction being imparted, or a lot less friction being imparted there. So a lot less spin going on.
Yeah.
So let's just think the easiest thing we can think about all the time. If you can get a club cleanly on the back of the golf ball, it's a heck of a lot easier to impart some spin than if you can't. Try to imagine this in the bunker, John. So let's say your ball's kind of like partially plugged, or there's some fluffy sand right behind your ball.
Mm-hmm.
What are the odds of you getting a lot of spin on this?
Slim to none.
Pretty slim.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that shot right there is going to kind of come out running a little bit because it's going to have less spin. So you're still going to get it out, right? You're going to plow through the sand. Of course, you're going to try to take as little sand of that as possible, but you're going to plow through the sand and the ball's going to poof out and it's going to come out on this cloud of sand, but it's not going to have a lot of spin on it.
Right.
But what about the thing when, John, it's, let's say it's rained a little bit beforehand, the sand's a little firmish, ball's sitting up in the sand, and now there's not a whole bunch of sand immediately right behind your golf ball because it's kind of sitting on top.
Okay.
Well, now all of a sudden, you can get a club cleanly on the back of this golf ball or close to it where you put this little sliver of sand, you know, gritty surface in between the face of the club and the golf ball. Now, all of a sudden, you can put a lot of spin on the ball.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
It does.
It's like sandpaper, so to speak.
Uh-huh. Just going
right across the back of the ball. Next thing you know, you got a lot of spin.
But coming out of the rough, you basically have counseled me to worry about loft and not rely on
anything. Yeah, trajectory is going to help you there more than spin if it's in thick rough.
Yeah.
Because of how cleanly you can get a club on the back of the ball, or can you not?
And then position is so important too, because usually to get out of the ball, to get out of the rough, you may have to come in faster than one would think to get the ball as far as it needs to get to the hole.
Well, I mean, you've clearly understood, and I think every golfer understands this basic fact, is that if you're coming through the rough, you might want to take a practice swing or two to find out just how grabby the grass is on your club. Because let's say it's in the springtime or it's just after a rain. The grass has a lot of density. There's a lot of water in the blade of the grass, which means this club's going to slow down, so you have to speed the sucker up, right?
Right, yep.
Well, if you speed the sucker up, now you need more loft to offset that speed. Otherwise, it isn't going to stop.
Yeah.
Right? So you need to toss it a little higher on those. Now, if you have dry grass, hadn't rained in a while, here it is, you know, middle of August or September, October sometime, and it's been dry. And the grass is there, and the club just breezes right on through it because there's no real friction. There's no real density of the grass slowing the club head down. So now it doesn't have to go quite as fast. You don't have to add nearly as much speed to the club. So now you don't need quite as bit of loft because you can actually get a club on the back of the golf ball because there's not so much dense grass, not enough wetness between there, not enough thick blades because it just doesn't have that much because the grass is drier, which means you can get a club on the back of the golf ball and you can spin it quite a bit more because there's more friction.
Okay. These are our little nuances. See, I'm speaking French there. little subtleties that so few of us pay attention to. Because there's one way we've learned how to do something, and damn it, we're going to do it that way every time, whether it works or not.
And unfortunately, there's an awful lot of people out there who actually know more than what they think they know, but because they're not trying to be their own caddy in like a common sense way, like, hey, why don't we step back and figure out what we ought to do right with this shot before we just choose a club and go whack at it? How about we talk to ourselves in a nice way, John? No, don't use the regular verbiage. Okay. Let's talk to ourselves and go, hey, what's the best way to hit this shot? What am I going to have to do here? Where do I need to land this ball? What's the lie? What's it tell me? What's the best shot to get this club on the back of the golf ball? And how can I get that set?
Yeah. And that's all the questions you need. You need to run through. I mean, you should run through questions like that on every shot.
You should. You should run, be your own caddy. Next thing you know, you'll talk yourself into better shots.
Yeah.
Especially if you ask yourself, you know, if you're having this, internal discussion, and the question guy, the caddy, asks a question, and the player guy gives a really moronic answer. If the caddy can then return the question and go, "Really? You really want to do that?
You want to rethink that, buddy?"
Yeah. But I know that those conversations don't really go on in people's heads very often. Although we have seen some people do that where you can tell because they're actually doing it out loud and you think you've got two different people there.
Right.
You've got a bipolar golfer going on here.
So no longer do I play with
the two of them.
It's supposed to be a foursome, not a fivesome, people. Get over it. It goes back to your litany of be prepared, of know not only what shot to do, but how to do the shot, because there's a big difference between knowing what shot to do and how to do that shot. Because I can look and I say, well, I need to do this shot. I wish I knew how. or I wish I was confident in knowing how. I guess if I had done them a few times, maybe in a repeated venue, I might be more confident.
It's an interesting scenario, because when you do something like that, where you just say, I'm going to go to this location and I'm going to repeat this kind of a golf shot for a handful of times.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'd get some feedback on the technique that you used and the results that it produced if you just went and did that a handful of times and then actually paid attention to the results.
Yeah.
So then you could take that information and plug it into your little golfer brain. And when you went to the golf course, you'd actually be able to pull out that scenario because you had gone and done it repeatedly at another location.
Right.
Voila.
There you go.
A brand new shot that you now have control over.
How easy can it be? I just got to tell you, I was playing a course last Friday. The 18th hole had a beautiful water feature right in front of the 18th green. And behind the green, there was no room, no nothing. I was like almost 180 yards away. And I said, you know, I'm not even going to try to get there. I'm going to lay up. And I did. And I was about 10 yards in front of the green, which put me about 15 yards in front of the pin. And I took my sand wedge and I hit it and it flew perfectly and it hit the green. I didn't see it happen, but my brother-in-law was with us and he saw it happen. And he just looked at me with this look of astoundment on his face and said, I didn't think you had that shot. And I said, well, up until this very moment, I didn't. But I hit it perfectly. Took a little bit of a divot after contact. Put tremendous spin on the ball. Hit it straight. It hit about 5 feet in front. Bounced once. Checked up and rolled to about 8 inches.
That's fantastic.
I made the birdie putt or the par putt because I had laid up. But I made the putt.
I love that.
Yeah. But it's like, so I know I can do it. Now all I have to do is figure out exactly how I did it so I can repeat it.
You know, what's interesting is that it's possible to go to some location. Most golf courses have these little locations where you could go and hit said shot repeatedly to figure it out.
Really?
You might even take a notebook with you and write it down once you've figured out the routine that you would go through.
Mm-hmm. Step go, one,
wow,
step
if
two.
I did this,
mm-hmm.
I get this result.
Uh-huh.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd ever do that or not.
Well, I just wanted to know. It's available to you as a golfer.
Okay.
It is one of those things that they do. And generally speaking, the more the golfer does said thing,
uh-huh.
the generally speaking, the better they get.
Yeah. And the lower the score.
A lot of different things. Usually it's when they go to do that thing on a repeated basis,
mm-hmm.
you know, they get more confident in what they're doing, in the shot that they've chosen to try out. It's really kind of fun because they play better golf because they get better because they actually did that sort of repeatable thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting thing. I know that there's people that are really trying to get better at the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm an advocate of using that part of the golf course facility to go and hit those shots repeatedly.
So how much extra do you have to pay to use those parts of the facility, man?
I don't know. Sometimes it's really negligible amount, and sometimes they have these memberships that you could get, and you could just go use that part of the facility. It's kind of a crazy concept.
It's really weird. And I understand that if you play, you can probably use that part for free at no extra charge.
Well, a lot of places are like that. Yeah. I know it's really kind of a cool concept where they get people to come and continue to do those things. And they take care of that ground that they use, you know, because it tends to get used by a lot of people who really are truly trying to get better.
Mm-hmm.
They actually use it, and then they replenish the grass, and they make, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes they resod it, and sometimes they just reseed it, because it tends to get used by, you know, people who really want to do it.
Yeah.
And get better.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun. On some days, that place actually has a lot of traffic. And the golf course might not have as much traffic.
I've seen that happen. Speaking of which, let me ask you a question that just popped into my head.
Yeah.
How different is it hitting a ball off of a mat than hitting it off of grass?
Well, so in the golf studio, I've got mats and I don't have grass.
Yes.
So I think there's a couple different kinds of answers here.
Okay.
If you're the kind of golfer who has, say, let's say repeated this golf swing enough times to land their club at the bottom of the golf ball, there's virtually no difference.
Okay.
And the reason is that the ball is off the face so quickly.
Okay.
And there was, in both scenarios, the club ran into the golf ball before it ran into anything below it.
Right.
So that was the primary influence on the ball. So for those people who have repeated numerous times where they can land the club in the right spot, there's very little difference between hitting it off the mat and hitting off the ground.
Okay.
All right. But for those who are practicing on the ground and they hit behind it a little bit, depending on the quality and type of mat you hit, whether it represents the ground and gives away
right.
a little bit, or if it's firmer, it might bounce into it. So at that point, wherever you land the club, now there's a distinct difference between hitting it off the ground and hitting it off a mat.
Gotcha. Okay.
And the type of mat that it is.
Okay. So just, again, just go to that place where you can make it so that you can repeat that swing.
Yes.
And see, and we divulge the concept without ever saying the word.
I know. He who shall not be named.
We shall be right back. We are those Weekend Golf Guys. Hang with us. Is there anything better than sweating out a win in the fourth quarter and coming away with cash in your pocket? Well, at my bookie, there is. Make your first deposit and receive double your money before ever placing a bet with MyBookie. That's a dollar-for-dollar match on whatever you throw down, up to $1,000. And you can use that extra scratch to get in on all the biggest games of the week, including tonight's matchup between the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, with two of the most explosive offenses in the NFL going toe-to-toe, you know the over is going to be a great bet. And as if you needed another reason to head to MyBookie.ag to celebrate the start of the MLB playoffs, MyBookie is hosting a $20,000 blackjack tournament that is absolutely free to enter. Winning season is here, so get in the game and get to MyBookie.ag now. That's MyBookie.ag, not .com, not .net. Use the promo code GOLFGUYS to get your double deposit bonus. That's promo code GOLFGUYS with no spaces, and you can double your funds to double your winning. Bet anything, anytime. Time anywhere with my bookie.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for just $99. Call 800-705-4051. That's 800-705-4051. Again, 800-705-4051.
Before we get back into things here, I just want to recommend a podcast to you. It's called The Approach Shot. A little selfish on my part. I'm the co-host, along with a gentleman named Neil Michaels. We talk to famous, not so famous, and infamous people who play golf. We've talked to guys like Gary Reasons from the 86 Super Bowl winning Giants. We've talked to some of the guys who are responsible for the Golf Channel at approachshot.net or anywhere you find podcasts. And we are here a few moments yet. John Ashton along with Jeff Smith. Jeff is in the golf cave, and we've been talking about spin, how to get it, when to get it. The bump and run, I mean, when do you decide when to do the spin with the checkup and the bump and run thing?
There's a good answer for this.
Okay.
Okay, so let's think. Do I have to fly it up over something, or can I go low and bounce and roll it there trying to get it on the green? And that's one of the things, is the situation that I'm in.
Right.
Does it dictate me tossing the ball up in the air higher and softer? Yay or nay? And if I have the option to go low and roll it up there, I might take that option if it's available. Okay. And then the next option is, how close is the hole? And is it uphill or level or downhill to where I am? So if it's a long way away and downhill, I might
okay.
do a little bump and run and treat it like a putt. I might. But if it's downhill and close to me, there's not a chance in the world I'm going to do it, because the hill going downwards is already going to push the ball more forward, more forward, more forward.
Yeah.
So now I need something soft, and I need a soft landing. So I need to pop that one up into the air and let it trickle. Depending on the downhill versus uphill nature of the shot.
Gotcha.
If it's a long one that's level, chances are really good I'll use that shot, because I like it. It can go on like a bump it up there and roll like a putt. There's also a time to use that in where you're very comfortable with that shot if you had a choice. Let's say the situation presented itself that you could pull off a high soft shot, a medium trajectory, or and roll a little bit shot, or a lower shot that rolls a lot. Now, all of a sudden, which one do you have the most confidence in at that second? Pick that one. If the situation gives you the opportunity to choose anything, choose the one that you're the most confident in right then.
Choose the one that you've probably repeated most often at that special place,
that
at
place.
The golf course.
Yeah. Generally speaking, there's an area over there that sometimes they have a green and a bunker nearby, and mm-hmm. sometimes there's rough nearby, and sometimes there's a little strip of fairway nearby that. There's all kinds of things that are available.
How about that? What a novel concept. You can have more novel concepts too. JeffSmithGolfInstruction.com. You can check us out anytime at ThoseWeekendGolfGuys.com. Facebook.com/GolfGuys is the Facebook page. The group, we want you to join our group. Become one of the gang at the League of Extraordinarily Average Golfers. We have a good time over there. So check us out there too. And until next week, go to that place where you can hit shots repeatedly and hit some shots repeatedly. Get a little good, and then go out and play some golf.